Running down dogma with his karma. This is the Drew Marshall Show.
Well, setting up in studio as we speak is Anwar Khurshid. Before making the sitar his primary focus, Anwar studied vocals, flute, and tabla. These instruments still permeate his playing, giving it a fluid, lilting quality that has become his signature. His major influences in Hindustani tradition are Ustad... Oh, man, I'm not even going to try to pronounce it. A whole bunch of really cool people. We'll get those names later. Have a listen to this track off of his CD. I've got the CD in my hand, and this is track number one. And you might... I don't know if you know this or not. There's a few tunes on this CD you may know. But Enter the Gate, this is such a beautiful song. There's obviously some blues influence in this for sure. Have a listen, folks. We'll be right back live. I don't know what you folks are thinking, but as we've been setting up here in studio, I'm perplexed. I'm filled with questions about this instrument. this whole scene, this genre. But this instrument has had a profound impact on a lot of people over many, many years, obviously. So, you are listening to The Drew Marshall Show. We're streaming live at drewmarshall.ca. We're live right here on Joy 1250 here in Southern Ontario. And this is the first time we've ever had a sitar player in the studio. Anwar, so good to have you, man.
Well, thank you so much.
Heck of a drive. Thank you for making it through the big Toronto traffic. I think the Gardner is closed this weekend, and that might be impacting other.
And also, yeah, 401 is therefore considerably busier.
Yeah, that's exactly what's happening, yeah. All right, so let's get into it. First of all, this instrument, do you have to be an Indian guy to play this thing?
Not really.
No.
Music is an... is a universal thing. It's nobody has ownership to it. You know, it doesn't belong to a particular race or a caste. You know,
where are you from? I hear the accent.
Originally, I'm from Pakistan, but my ancestors were from India.
Okay,
so they migrated when the subcontinent divided. And they moved to Pakistan.
When people hear this instrument, what do you think they think of? You know, when I hear the steel guitar, I think of country music. When I hear somebody on a slide guitar, I think of blues, bagpipes, Scotland. When people hear this instrument, what do you think?
I think the first thing that generally Canadians or North Americans think of is Ravi Shankar.
Right.
Or the Beatles. I think that's the association they make. And... it has been a phenomenal influence. Like the Beatles have been a phenomenal influence in making this instrument known, because George Harrison, one of the Beatles, obviously studied sitar, and he actually played quite well.
Did he? Was,
yeah.
I knew he played, but in your opinion, did he play quite well? For a white guy.
I think he did pretty good. And I recently heard some of his one of his songs on steel guitar, where he was playing his version of a rag, and that was very nicely done. I thought it was very nicely done. It was
for me, in my brain, the Hindu faith comes into my brain when I hear the sitar. I met with Bhakti Maharaj Swami, who is the leader of the Hare Krishna temple here in Toronto, a leader of the Hare Krishnas in Canada. And I know that the Hare Krishnas, of course, that's what George Harrison was involved with, and it really brought Hare Krishna, that whole group, that whole thing, that whole psyche, that mentality, to North America. Really, he kind of helped the whole thing explode. But the Hare Krishna, from what I understand, the Hare Krishna group is like the ultra musical side of the Hindu faith. Do you understand when I say, like, when I hear this instrument, I think of Hinduism?
Right. Well, the thing is that it's that's how the instrument was brought into this society.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the introduction to it. And obviously, you know, whatever the first introduction is, that's what stays with the society or with the people, in this case with you. But really the instrument, like, obviously it doesn't really have, music doesn't really have a religion. It's like saying, like, is a bagel Jewish, you know?
Yeah, great comparison. That's good, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So instrument per se, it was actually invented, first it is said to be invented mythically by a Muslim, a Sufi person whose name was Hazrat Amir Khusro. And he was very heavily involved in the Sufi mysticism side of Islam, and he was he's buried in Delhi, and since then the sitar has had this mystic association with it, and over so many years many Muslims have contributed to it. In fact, most sitar players now are associated with Muslim faith rather than the Hindu faith. But
you know what? I've just realized we have talked too much. We got to hear this thing. First of all, how much does it weigh?
Would you like to try it?
Yeah. Let me just move over here. I'd love to pick this up. Hold on. Okay. Ready?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was going to be way heavier. That's so light.
Yeah, I just wanted you to experience that because a lot of people think that it is a huge instrument, so it would be fairly heavy, but it is not. It's much lighter than what people expect it to be.
A real good sitar would cost how much?
A really good sitar would be about $2,500
to $3,000.
Wow. Okay. Comparatively, it's nothing because these are handmade instruments. You know, a friend of mine, Rachel Mercer, actually recently was playing a cello that was worth $8 million.
No way.
Seriously, I'm not kidding. It's called a Stradivarius or something?
Stradivarius.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, can you please do a song?
Sure.
Tell us about it.
This is a song from the region of Sindh in Pakistan, where some of the worst floods in the recent history have ever occurred, and it has basically wiped off the whole topsoil of the region, and there is a big famine in a region called Thar in Sindh. So I always like to bring this association and this familiarity with this region so that people know that something quite awful meteorologically has been happening in another part of the world.
I want to make sure I'm saying your name right again. So it's Anwar Khurshid?
Yes.
Khurshid?
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us today, and we're going to sit back and really take this in. Thanks, man.
Oh,
Absolutely beautiful, man. Oh, dude, fantastic. I so appreciate that. Now I've got way, way more questions now. You see, this is the problem with this. So the melody is the one string. Is that right?
Yes.
Does that one string ever change? Do you ever play the melody on a different string?
We do use the second string.
Right.
But mainly there is just one string that you play on, and that's why, you know, sitar has become is such a difficult instrument, because you have to really reach out on this long neck to get from one note to
the
other.
You got to be in shape, man.
Yes.
Now the pegs, the tuning pegs that are on there, how many are there?
There should be about 18.
There should be?
Yeah, well, you know.
What, you broke a couple off, did you?
I actually did. Oh. I did remove this off, actually.
Okay.
It was there just for the looks.
Okay.
I used the six strings on top, and there used to be seven strings at one point.
Right.
But I have started using...
I just got to adjust the microphone because I've never had an instrument like this, obviously, in studio. And to pick up the sounds, I just need to change a couple things. It's such, you know, I thought it would be way more overwhelming, you know, just like crazy over the top loud. But it's a very humble instrument.
Yes, 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 yes.
Do you play pop tunes as well, or is it all sort of other world tunes?
Well, I make music. I create my own music.
Right.
And I also play...
Covers?
Covers sometimes. I also play with other musicians.
Yeah.
And we come up with some music that sort of blends in.
Yeah.
So, for instance, the CD that you played with, it's a fusion with blues music. With my very dear friend Paul Deloria, incredible musician and a really awesome guitar player. He actually recently won the Maples Blues Award for Guitarist of the Year.
So I should have him on the show, I think.
I think so. I think he's amazing.
What covers do you do? Can you do a couple of covers that we would know? A pop tune, play it on sitar, go. What would it be? Give us one. Oh, you can't pick that one.
Yeah, how about this?
I'm not getting that one. We should have done a contest. People phone in if you know this song. What song is that? Oh, that sounds so familiar. Anwar, what is it?
If there's anything that you want.
That's fantastic. How about another one? One more. Another cover. Putting you on the spot. Dude, I'm falling asleep. This is really having an impact on my soul. This is nuts. You are bending the tar out of that string. You must have wicked calluses on your finger.
You're pretty good, yeah. Yeah, my fingers are very strong, yes. Wow. The other career I guess, take is massage.
Now, are you using the pick you have on your finger? It reminds me of like a banjo pick. Oh, wait, no, it's not. Okay. So what is that? It looks like some twisted coat hanger.
Yes, it is. It's a steel wire that has that is sort of twisted into a circle.
Okay.
With two prongs, and then you pull it with a string so that it's kind of shaped, and then you open the two prongs up, and you put your fingers sort of right in between.
Do you make these or buy them?
I make these for myself because they have, like, for me, that it has to be a certain fit,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I don't take a chance with it.
So. Can you do another song for us, please?
Sure.
What's this one?
Cover?
Whatever you'd like, man.
The cannonballs fly before they're forever banned. The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind.
Just tripping me out over here. What do you think about that, eh, Dave? Pretty good, huh? We give him a little round of applause. Dude, yeah, David's sitting in the corner crying over here. So, Anwar, do you get this response from new sitar listeners a lot? Do people, especially us Westerners, because it's new, because it's esoteric in many ways, you know, I think it's one of those instruments you either love or you hate. It's kind of like bagpipes. You either love it or you hate it.
Well, I still have to meet someone who actually comes out and tells me that he hates it or she hates it.
Yeah.
But I think it's also my own approach towards music. You know, I don't really know Western music. You know, I'm a student, and I find this very fascinating that, you know, it's an incredibly lovely form of music that has been around for such a long time as well. And so many people know so many songs through the generations. They really know a lot of music, and that I don't know any of that music. That for me is a very humbling experience, that's one thing. And then I start with that assumption that I don't really know this music, and then I very apologetically actually I suggest my own versions of it. So,
right.
You know, my own ornamentation or my own take on whatever I'm playing. It's not to say that, oh, I'm going to go out and teach the West how this song should be sung. It's more that, okay, you know, I'm going to make all these mistakes and I cannot break away from all that I have learned. Mm-hmm. And it's going to come through. It's going to permeate, as you guys say. it's going to sort of show in my rendering of the song. So, you know, and that's I think it makes people interested in it. You know, they people here are very, very open and very very forgiving, and that's something I really like about being here.
When most musicians come and do this part of our show, I don't ask them this question and didn't prepare you for this question. So if you feel awkward and you just want to say, I don't want to get into that, then tell me, okay? But this instrument, again, begs, at least in my brain, a question about spirituality, about faith, about, and especially just with your ethnic background as well. Is there a belief system for you? Is there a faith journey? Is there a spiritual context to what you do? Are you just a dude playing a sitar?
I was brought up to understand the association that this instrument has with the religion. Mm. So my teacher, Ustad Nasiruddin Saab, he was actually a very strong, very a practicing Sufi. I'm not really a Sufi per se. I just know about, like, he was someone who had actually experienced that. Mm. I only know about it, and I know about it through the knowledge that he conveyed to me. But a lot of things that about this instrument are spiritually related. Some are related very strongly to the Sufi Islamic tradition, and some are very strongly related to Hindu traditions. And I was fortunate that my teacher, because the Sufis are such open people, he actually taught me those associations. For instance, you know, when we are doing a form called alap, which is a free-flowing, timeless kind of a very open form, we end each phrase, each section by a phrase, and so, and the phrase means, this is what your name is, what your name is like. This is what you are like. Meaning, this is how beautiful I perceive you to be. Mm. And that relates to the beauty of the divine experience, of divinity. So, for instance, just to give you a short example. So, the phrase goes, hey, so to re naam, meaning this is how beautiful I. So then I would create something more beautiful. And then, eso to de na na. And so that's one of the things that is related to spirituality. And then to Hinduism, you know, a lot of rags are devoted to certain gods and goddesses. For instance, Sham Kalyan is related to Sham basically. And then Durga. That's another goddess, you know. And then Saraswati is the goddess. Another goddess. So what I'm trying to say is that there are associations with both religions. Mm. In there, then there is also this whole science of chakras, and there are certain rags that are associated with certain chakras, meaning there is a theory that inside our body are certain parts which are called chakras, mm-hmm. and there are seven of them. And these chakras, when open, you are connected to the divinity. Mm-hmm. Basically, that we are not only humans or living beings made out of flesh, but also out of light and certain energy. And these chakras are the key points which, when one open, you can imagine yourself being connected to the divine light. Mm. And that's why, you know, a lot of people, when they talk about enlightenment, you know, that's, in a way, that's what they're referring to as well.
The last time I had a chakra conversation was with Deepak Chopra. I find him very interesting. Have you ever met Deepak Chopra at all?
No, I haven't.
I think you guys should go on tour together. I think it'd be great. It'd be very interesting.
It would be amazing.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. Well, we're almost out of time, so I want to get one more song out of you, if you don't mind. Do you have anything that's just got a little energy, a little crazy, a little giddy up in it?
For sure.
Okay. Well, let's do that. Folks, again, live on the Drew Marshall Show, Anwar Khurshid. Thank you. absolutely brilliant. Fantastic. Anwar Khurshid on the Drew Marshall Show. Dude, so good to have you here.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very, very much. Religion. Going out with one more track from Anwar's CD, Nobody's Fault But Mine.
Nobody's fault but mine. Nobody's fault but mine. Trying to raise my soul alive. Nobody's fault but mine. Yeah, nobody's fault but mine. Nobody's fault but mine. Trying to raise my soul alive. Nobody's fault. Lost. Nobody's fault.